You're all good, bro. We're all good. Full squad in the building today. Talking about practice is on the way. As always, we want to thank you for spending some of your evening with the nonsense it is we got going on around here. We also want to give a big shout out to our friend, future Hall of Famer, our guy. You know him, we love him. Patrick Riley, a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 530-588-6593.
Shouts to the man Patrick.
What?
Shouts to the man Patrick.
Yeah.
We love our guy. Almost had a Neil Brennan moment right there.
Glad you did it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, he had a worse one. It wasn't as bad as Neil Brennan.
Okay. Don't worry, your producer's got you.
We weren't talking Kansas City yet.
Oh, right. Well, if that's any indication of how the rest of this evening's going to go,
it's gonna be
ladies
great.
And gentlemen, it's going to be fun.
If you expected anything less, that's on you.
Yeah. We set the bar low. If you have high expectations, that's not our fault. That's yours.
Professionalism is not the name of the game here.
Not at all.
No.
All right. Let's hear from our sponsor and start the show.
This episode of Talking About Practice is made possible by the Civil War. Because if you don't try to break up every once in a while, are you really even trying?
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Y'all know the drill. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show is live. I'm your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside me, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isamaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
We have our resident degenerate back. If you got it, then spend it, because you can't take this money with you. The one, the only, Rudy Vasquez.
Standing on business, baby.
There we go.
Let's go.
My dude mustachio over here, you know?
It's getting there.
Yeah, you've been rocking a little mustache with the dirty beard.
It looks good.
Ever since Mexico, I'm like...
It brings out.
Brings out my Mexican out of me.
Yeah.
No doubt. So. I feel it too. That's some, you know?
Thank you.
Soy tu Pedro.
And of course, we have the recently married... producer extraordinaire, Stepman, Brett.
Yeah!
Let's go.
Alrighty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are. Here we are. It's good to be back.
I'm really actually rather surprised neither of you are very... both of you are rather tempered right now. Neither of you are rocking any gear. No Niner gear whatsoever.
Well, we got the...
I mean, Brad over here, too. Your team looking pretty saucy.
Oh, yeah.
But after that... massive Niner win in the link. Y'all are just sitting here nonchalant. I basically got the Sunday, which I can respect, but I did not expect at all.
Quick business trip, am I right?
Yeah, I was expecting to win by 10 points, and we did.
Yeah, more
but
so.
But it was more of a blowout, and...
Philly frauds, baby.
And it was the most beautiful thing
the worst
ever
the worst, 9-2 team out there in the world ever?
10-2.
Possibly the worst 10-2 team 100%. Ever?
Them, the Cowboys, everyone else. But the best scene was towards the end, like halfway through the fourth quarter when there's no Philly fans.
Oh, yeah. Philly. We were hoping for that. We wanted to see that stadium clear out yesterday. So let's start there. I was going to start with college football, but...
start with the most recency right now. You might as well give the people what they want.
We'll get there.
We have Niner fans out there. They want their juice. Here's your juice, y'all.
So the Niners go into Philly after that championship game. Brock Purdy obviously getting knocked out in the championship game with a torn UCL in his elbow. And then the game just went to hell in a handbasket for the Niners after that. A lot of trash talk was made on both sides of the coin there. after the game, Niners obviously saying, you know, if we were at full strength, we'd be going to the Super Bowl. Philly saying basically the Niners are a bunch of whiners. Debo called the cornerback trash. And then talk about backing up your trash talk. Ooh, might be the best example in recent history of any NBA or any professional athlete talking a bunch of trash and then going and backing it up. Three touchdowns, 138 yards. Absolute beast yesterday.
Yeah, and it all started, it's been ever since that game last year, last season. Everyone wore black.
Yep.
Pre-game.
And, like black Air Forces were being worn.
And that's black, right. Air Forces were worn by your boy Debo, and he was locked in all week. He said it, this game was different. And boy, did he show up. Everyone showed up.
I hope this isn't a premature coming right now of the 49ers because...
No, I don't think so.
Obviously, you took a lot of stock into this game, but you are a team that loves the regular season. You perform admirably, more than admirably. You perform higher than admirably. You're the best team usually in the regular season, have been for the past few seasons. But...
We still haven't won anything.
Playoffs.
Yeah. And records good in the playoffs besides the games that matter that we
the championship games and the Super Bowls when we tend to struggle. Now, we are the Niners are the second seed overall right now in the NFC. They have the tiebreaker against Dallas and Philly now, smoking both squads. Philly has a brutal schedule. They are in the midst of it, playing Kansas City, Buffalo,
Dallas.
They got Dallas this coming weekend. Yeah, they just got smoked at home by the Niners. And I think, again, this was just a reminder. I think we're all in agreement here that Philly is the most obnoxious fan base in the league. I saw a lot of videos, and it's just people constantly flipping off Niners fans and cursing at them and saying really obscene things to them. So to send them home, send them packing early was really, really great. Who's Philly got on the schedule coming up?
So they got Dallas coming up this upcoming week, and then the Eagles right after, sorry, the Seahawks right after that,
yeah.
Giants, Cardinals, and then Giants again to end it all.
Actually, that's kind of simple.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
Mind. No,
yeah.
It's just the next two games, Cowboys and then Seahawks, I mean, are going to be the two most difficult.
Yeah. You do have to go against, you know, the Italian Stallion out there and Tommy DeVito.
That's
twice.
Twice, which is, you know, he's going to get one of you. You know,
I just I feel like,
you
know,
he breaks one of your legs.
Let's go Giants,
he's going to break one of your legs for sure. You know, like that's just some Tommy DeVito's blood right there.
Either
okay?
He will or his family will.
Yeah.
Either or.
Yeah. That's what's going for. But thank you, Brudy, for completing the circle. Yes.
I do think that, I mean, six drives in a row to be capped off with the touchdown.
Wasn't it seven drives in a row you guys had?
It was six.
Six, okay.
Six, yeah. Okay. Six drives in a row to score a touchdown is just ridiculous, especially when you're facing the number one overall seed in the league, a team that only had one loss on their record. To go into their house and play like that is really impressive. But you, I mean, if you're Philly, here's what you're saying in the locker room. Or if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, the way you're consoling yourself is you're saying, look, we came off a long week, went in overtime against Buffalo. The Niners came off 10 days of rest. They were ready for this. They were more up for this game. We could still get home field advantage through the playoffs. They're not going to beat us twice in our house. That's what you're. That's how you're, I guess, consoling yourself.
You've spun it in that way.
That's how you have to.
You have a nice tapestry of possibilities that now could be shining in front of you.
At the same time, Philly fans, they could just shut up.
They're
for once and for all, because I'm tired of it.
Once again, their absolute love of Rocky Balboa baffles me.
Yeah, dude.
Great movie, no doubt. I'm not denying that. But for that to be like your city's like, yeah, that's our guy. That's who we hang our banner on. That's who we have a statue of out there. That's who we make Philly. That's who Philly is. A guy that somebody made up.
Yep.
You don't have anything better?
I feel like there's some awesome Philly legends out there that you can hang your hat on.
Plenty of sports legends out there you can go for right now.
Yeah.
That's on steroids.
I mean, if you are a fan of the show, you know we've talked about it many times. We are inspired by the man, the answer, AI.
Yep.
And the fact that there's nothing out there for that man who, again, took that team that had nobody, absolutely garbage on that team. Derek Coleman, Aaron McKee, Eric Snow. Poop soup out there. He brought him to the NBA Finals and took one game from the LA Lakers. Yeah.
Don't forget Matt Geiger.
In LA. Thank you. Yes. That's Rocky Balboa?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have to, because Philly, it always baffles me, that's who you hang your hat on right now.
And there was this video out there of Sylvester Stallone with a kid that was
giving a speech today, right now,
and it just further infuriated my hatred of Philly and their love for Rocky Balboa. Look, again, great movie. I'm not denying that. I'm not trying to say it's not worthy of, like, adulation.
No one's saying that the movie's bad, but we're just saying, like, Philadelphia fans do better.
Yeah,
you've had a lot of actual real-life athletes that meant a lot to that area, and they don't get statues, but a fictional character does. It's just ridiculous.
Well, they never really won championships, so they had to get a guy who won a fake championship to actually.
That's probably what it was.
So I get it. Like, cause Philadelphia, you really don't win any championships. I mean, you do have baseball. You had your Phillies in 2008. That was some time. But other than that, they really haven't. Sorry, Philadelphia.
Well, the Eagles did win the Super Bowl, what, 4 or 5 years
ago? Yes, but prior to that, they had that was their first time ever winning the Super
Bowl. Right?
Yeah, that was their first time winning it.
Last year, they lost in every sport.
And I can't think of the last time.
That was beautiful.
When have they won? It's got to be Dr. J's the last time they won in basketball.
I believe so.
So
that was what, 80?
It's got to be late
6 because that was Moses Malone.
Yes, that was.
Yeah, the Lakers
lost to.
That's right.
To the Philly in that game.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
Going back
to the Niners, Philly's fans.
Sorry, Philly man.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We're going to continue to beat up Philly fans around here. Regardless of what sport you root for in Philadelphia.
Jay Pounds, I hope you're listening.
We're against you.
Shout out to Jordan. Where you at, cousin? Where you at, Jordan? That's right. Talking all that smack. All that smack for what? Nothing.
We exchanged some texts yesterday.
Good. He's lucky I didn't have his number. I don't have his number.
That's probably a reason.
Don't ever give it to him.
Yeah, don't ever. You'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
I do want to mention one of the things that I found the most impressive about the Niners this season. They have the second best average margin of victory at 13.6, right behind the Dallas Cowboys at 14 points. And the fact that they beat the other two contenders vying for that number one seed, both by more than 19 points. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
I don't think that the Cowboys have beaten a team over 500.
No, they haven't. Yeah. Their combined record of their opponents, it's either 386 to 396. The Niners is like 540 or something.
Wait, didn't Seattle go in there? Weren't they 6-5? Or am I
wrong? Yeah, no, but combined from
their wins.
They're only in 380, 390. Niners are 540 or 530.
Wait, for what? This year?
Their opponents have we beaten. Combined record.
Yeah, I get that, but 390 for this year alone?
390.
Winning
point
percentage.
Winning percentage.
I thought you were talking about 390 wins. I was like,
how long
are we calculating this for right
winning
now?
Winning percentage
this is not
for
year.
This year. My apologies.
I was like, there's not that many games.
0.390%.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. My stupidity knows no bounds.
So real quick, the Flyers are the Philadelphia hockey team. They won in 74 and 75. Just
All right.
So Philly, not a city of championships.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry. I want to move on here. I mean, we could stay here all day, but the Molly was whopping yesterday. It was a beautiful sight to see.
Yeah.
We needed that.
One more thing. Big Cock Brock, the leader for MVP.
Okay.
Yeah. That was Rudy. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah. That was Rudy.
Our boy's a little rusty.
Yeah.
He's been off the show for a while.
It's been 2 weeks, all right?
He's a little bit rusty.
2 weeks.
And to follow it up with a rat, that's helpful.
Yeah. We should have just kept pushing, but we can't. I'm sorry.
No, we had to stay there. Right. Jordan Love, we have that. He looks good.
I am actually shocked at how good he's looking. And he's getting in a good rhythm with his wide receivers, not only with Christian Watson, but Reed. Is another huge weapon that he's been able to use. So
Watson going down is tough.
That was tough.
That is tough. That's massive.
I just want to say my calling out the Kansas City Chiefs not making the AFC Championship is
it's looking good.
It's good right now. They
looks really good.
Everyone always thinks that they have Patrick Mahomes. Everything's fine. Everything's not fine over there. Okay. Yeah, they're far from fine in Kansas City right now. That should have been a team that they should have just walked over. Should have rolled into the Lambeau, had a good time, but. Something ain't right up there. Maybe it's too much Swift action, but Travis Kelce is not the Travis Kelce, and they don't have receivers that can complement Travis Kelce.
Well, and I always find it funny in football when we don't talk about the complementary pieces, right? When we don't talk about the other guys, the weapons, when it is so important. Look how Brock Purdy's looked since getting Debo and Trent Williams back, right? Compared to that three-game skid when those guys were out or injured.
It's a whole new team right there.
Yeah.
Whole new team. And you lose a guy like Tyreek Hill. Granted, they have won a Super Bowl since, but you see what he's doing in MVP talks. We'll talk about that in a second here. But Patrick Mahomes, no matter how great you are as a QB, you still need weapons. And besides Pacheco running hard and Travis Kelce, that line's improved, but still has a long way to go.
Not to mention Pacheco getting himself thrown out in the last part of the game right there. That don't help the cause at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
He needs people like you. Yeah. And obviously Travis Kelce, he's old. Like, people forget the dude is...
He is ancient. 34?
He's ancient in football years right there. I believe he's older than Rob Gronkowski.
No.
Yeah. No. Look it up right now, Brad. No, come on, let's do some statting up. And
what was the question
Kelce
again?
Kelce age and Gronk age.
Gronk is just... Obviously, his years are tarnished because Brady abused and used him.
We're going to throw you the ball up the middle every
time. Every damn time. And you better get us extra yardage, you know?
Or else you're not
going to... Well, I mean, that was just Gronk. You know, Gronk on the ball, Gronk run, you know? That was his mentality.
I do think the other side of the ball...
They're both 34 years old.
All right, thank you. All right.
Same age, a little older.
So, either way. One's retired. One's, never coming back, probably.
Yeah.
Is done with. But, like, we're thinking Kelce can still do it, especially in that position, what you do. It's not a young man's sport. We all know that.
Gronk is like 4 months older.
There we go.
So there
you're welcome.
Go.
All right. Just keep my streak alive.
I do want to talk about the other side of the ball. Green Bay getting that win, putting themselves back in the mix for playoff contention. All this talk about how bad Jordan Love was, and I think we forget this at times because the NFL, unlike any other sport, is just ripe for overreacting every Monday. And teams get better and teams get worse throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And this is a younger team. They needed time to grow. And you saw Jordan Love making throws that he hasn't made in the past, throwing in a triple coverage, dropping an absolute dime in that game. His weapons stepping up, obviously, in Jaden Reed. You got Watson, who went down with the hamstring again, which is unfortunate because he's been coming online lately.
And then we had our tight end, Tonyan. He's been an asset as well.
Are you really going to go like three in a row right now with quarterbacks? Like Favre, legend. Aaron Rodgers, legend. Now, I'm not saying he's legend, but like right now you have a guy.
He's looking good.
He's gotten better throughout the year.
Yeah. And that's honestly the bare minimum you can ask of players right there. And he's looking legitimate. Yeah. Yes, this is his first year start.
And I was not expecting this with all of the games that he played prior to this. I get it. He didn't get a rhythm in a full season, but man, he is definitely looking a lot better than I was expecting.
And that defense is good. They got, what, eight or nine first-rounders on defense that are starting?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because we don't pick any offense.
But it's working, though.
It is.
You know, they're finally coming around. The whole team is coming together.
But we need to start getting some offensive weapons to help out Jordan Love.
Yeah, well, that's next year. I'm talking about right now.
That being said, there was a blatant defensive pass interference that was
probably the Rams Saints.
We're having a totally different conversation today if they call that.
Then it's just like, oh, they're down at the 5 yard line and they're going to make. Then I would believe they would have happened, but they
could have tied the game. Right,
they could have, but either way, Patrick Mahomes is not that Kansas City Chiefs team. They
need some.
Their offense is scary right now,
and their OC. They don't have a homie anymore. That was there in the past.
The enemy,
He's with Washington.
He decided to go make his life more difficult and call plays for Sam Howell. And that's not going super well for Eric Bieniemy.
Real quick, man, Riverboat Ron at the helm, okay? Things can't go that wrong. they can.
Real quick, just wanted to mention that Matt LaFleur is 15-0 in the month of December. And that's ridiculous. I don't understand that. Maybe spread the wealth a little bit, but hey, get hot when it matters the most. So we'll see if if Green Bay could sneak into the playoffs.
Currently they're actually in that playoff spot number 7.
They are now.
So yep,
there's still some football to be played. But Bill Belichick and the Pats, woof.
6-9.
How the mighty have fallen.
And the Chargers too.
Yeah, really.
Chargers. I'm more surprised of the Chargers than the Patriots.
Brandon Staley just needs to mosey on out of town.
Yeah, he needs to fire himself.
Yeah.
He should not show up. I hope he didn't show up today.
He should just be like, you know, I'm benching myself permanently from football until I just, you know, dude, figure it out.
We had some god-awful games in the at the 10 o'clock slate. Yuck. Just, I'm glad I was on the road for that. I didn't feel like I missed any football. Came back, got caught up on Red Zone before I went over to Darren's to watch the Niners game with the boys. And, yuck. I missed nothing. Now, I'm real quick. Miami, they look great. They're the one seed in the AFC right now. I think if they get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, they're going to be a real problem. But I wanted to talk about who's the MVP this season so far.
You know my answer.
Brock?
Yeah, 100%. He leads the category in as a quarterback in every single category out there.
17-4 is a starter so far in his career.
Crazy.
36 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. He had that three-game skid, and he's just looked – the last three games, he's looked ridiculous. I don't know
– Or CMC. I mean, come on, dude.
I would say CMC has a –
Tyreek's got to have a battle as well. 100%. Because what he is doing out there in Miami is unreal. It is become a reward that's usually just gone to like quarterbacks for the most part.
Which sucks.
I was about to say, is this the year that we get a non-quarterback?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Since Adrian Peterson.
Let's do it.
I hope so, but it never happens for wide receivers. Remember, Jerry Rice once had 22 touchdowns in a 12-game season and didn't win MVP. It's just really, really hard for these guys to win MVP. I think right now you can certainly make the case, in my opinion. I'm going Tyreek or Christian McCaffrey. I'd probably hedge towards – it's just hard. Tyreek's going insane. Christian McCaffrey has 17 touchdowns. I just think if ever we're going to give it to a non-quarterback, this would be a good year for
him.
Because there's no other quarterback out there that's really slinging it, that's putting himself as like, this is the guy right now.
No, Jalen Hurts was atop the list. Lamar Jackson's been, you know, floated out there. We've had Brock now picking up some steam. So we'll see.
Speaking of Tyreek, though, if you guys aren't watching the in-season with the Miami Dolphins for the Hard Knocks, y'all should watch it.
Yeah. Oh, it's them?
It's them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
It's good, especially the latest episode. Heart-wrenching, but good.
Yeah.
Heart-wrenching, but good.
Yeah, it's rough.
The way they built it up. I was like, so many things. I was like, so much foreshadowing. If you don't know, you'll go watch it. I don't want to
ruin it. Go watch it. Yeah. Comes out on Tuesday nights.
It.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah. Start watching
it. It's a good one. And Mike McDaniels is a...
Oh, he's the truth,
He is a character that you wish you were was on your play. You know, you want him.
Just your friend, too.
Yeah.
Someone to hang out with.
Yeah.
He's
a good time.
He's an interesting coach, and it's fun to see.
It's refreshing.
Action. Yeah, 100%.
It's refreshing.
Finally, something's changing right now. Let's get rid of these curmudgeons that have just been in the game for years.
These old dinosaurs out there. Yep.
Looking at you, Riverboat Ron, being one of them.
Yeah, I would vote for Mike McDaniel as MVP just based on a shoe game. Whether or not he was good, the fact that he's wearing off-whites on the sideline is crazy to me and super cool. And obviously, he can relate to his players. He's younger. It's just been awesome to see.
How old is he?
Mike McDaniels?
Yeah.
36, 37. He's pretty young.
Could you look that up for us, Statman?
Yep.
Thank you, sir. Let's move on real quick. Your boy got to check out the Chase Center for the first time.
40.
All right.
Okay.
I was adamantly against going to any Warriors games since they moved out of Oakland. I hated that for the city. That city did not deserve that. They supported a loser for years. And then they start winning, and as has happened to everywhere in my hometown, in the Bay Area, you know, the Warriors, just like the rest of San Francisco and the rest of Oakland, got gentrified, moved across the Bay to San Francisco that has deeper pockets, blah, blah, blah.
A lot more poop, too.
A lot more poop on the streets.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah.
I love Oakland. I spent Saturday there. But
unless a Chinese minister is coming. Chinese.
Then it's all cleaned up.
Then it's all cleaned up.
That's right.
You're going to see one homeless person.
You should get more of them out there.
Yeah. come back more after.
Yeah,
homie.
Come on, my dude. Yeah. Why don't you just come and live over there, you know?
Come to Chico, too. We can use that cleanup around here, too.
Take a little tour around the world, you know? Clean it up.
How was your take of the arena? My take of it, it's cool. Dope location.
Yeah.
But I think it was too much empty space, because we did a whole tore the whole thing, and I don't know. It was cool. They have a Jameson bar. That was cool.
It's a really nice arena. I think I would go with Golden One if I had to choose of the two. I actually like the Kings arena a little bit better. The vibe is not what it was, and that was hard to get over, actually. Shout out to our boy Donnell. He got us on to the Darnell. Sorry, he got us onto the court after the game. I ended up talking with a longtime season ticket holder, and we were both lamenting the fact that the energy is just different. The fans, it's a bunch of dorks there. Now there's still some of those old school Oakland players, and you know all that. But for the most part, it's a bunch of dorks. Oracle will never be repeated. That was a magical place, a magical ratchet place that I loved and called home. And Chase Center, just the vibes are off. It's not the same. But that's what happens with money.
Oakland, you fumbled it, man. Come on, figure it out.
No, fumbled everything. It's too bad.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, you got nothing now.
Nothing.
We don't have a ton of time, but we do have some time. Let's do some foot and mouth, man. It's been a while. I keep having to rush your foot and mouth. So, you know, you got 4 or 5 minutes.
Let's do it, baby.
All right.
Yeah. And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Oh, that is right, y'all. A little foot and mouth action for you, because it has been another glorious week in the world of football. The Premier League is getting a nice little shake-up right now at this point in time. Because the big game of the weekend ended in a fantastic draw. That's the only thing you can say in the game of football. When teams tie, it can be a fantastic game, and this is one of them. Tottenham-Man City. A 3-3 draw that really, Tottenham was lucky to get a point out of that game. But were reluctant, and they fought hard to get it. Man City, Haaland. I can't scream your name, my dude. He kind of floundered that game a little bit. Had some glaring opportunities. Didn't quite get it. Granted, you were screwed over by the ref and his decision-making. Yeah, that happens.
What happened?
There was a foul that happened that was going to be called, but there was an advantage that should have been played for Man City. But the ref blew his whistle.
So they
stopped the play.
Gotcha.
So it was a clear path on goal.
Damn.
That was called off that, you know, in the dying moments, too. Yeah. That would have, obviously, you have to make it. Usually you think your guy is going to, especially in a moment like that. But we've seen worse. Either way, Man City, you shouldn't have even been in that situation to begin with. It should have been well in hand. But no, Man City is lacking a little effort. They're lacking players right now. They're lacking their staunch midfield. No John Stones right now, no Rodri, and that's vital to a team's success. When you don't have a midfield in there that can keep the ball possession, you're going to give it up a lot. They don't quite have it anymore. Puts a lot of stress on the defense. And they have some young shining stars that aren't quite playing at stardom right there. Jeremy Doku! If you don't know that name, get to know it. He's a young Belgian winger that is lightning quick, that given the right moment can spring into action rapidly. But I digress from that. Why? I'm going to bring you down to my world right now. Bottom of the table right now, boys. Bottom of the table is where we sit at the start of this weekend. We moved up 2 spots. So yeah!
That's right.
A big 3 points away win for Everton, Nottingham Forest. Our 10-point deduction is going to be costly, but I believe in this squad right now. They have a chance to really make a name for themselves if they're able to overcome that 10 points. Because if they did not have that 10 points, they would be above Chelsea.
Yep.
we are that good of a team right now. We are getting quality away teams. Quality away wins, I'm sorry. I believe this team can get those vital points. And there are some crap teams out there. Now, granted, those crap teams happen to win this weekend, so that does not help the cause.
We would be 2 points ahead of you.
You'd be 2 points. Okay. Yes. All right. So, either way, that's because of this brilliant win that you all had this past weekend as well. So, shouts to Chelsea in your mid-table oblivion as well right now.
we're trash, and I know it.
The problem is, we are getting a 10-point deduction for our financial woes. That
is BS.
Obviously, Evertonians say unjustified. There are some things that can bring to light that said we have had a terrible board that has made some terrible financial decisions and has not made the money that we thought we would have, primarily on the likes of Gylfi Sigurdsson is the main reason why. If you don't know the story of Gylfi Sigurdsson, the man is a child predator, so you didn't get any money for
him. Yikes.
We tried it. We bought him. Then it all came out. Can't sell that guy. So it was a big loss that the club took, and that's pretty much where it all stems from. Mm. That being said, Chelsea has spent $1 billion.
Mm.
Over a billion.
Over. And it's
in a year.
Spending more this transfer window, too, as they say.
This we're going to break the record again.
This is a ridiculous thing that is happening.
We're sort of becoming,
and nothing has happened to them.
We're sort of being the Yankees without winning.
That's a problem. Yeah, you can't
we're
win.
Spending.
With, it's just spending. You're not developing an actual team. It is not the way you build a team.
The worst.
It is the most anti way that most good football teams are built. Granted, you're trying to be like Real Madrid, but Real Madrid has a certain aura about them that you, Chelsea, do not have. You are bought money right now. You are bought that badge. You have bought all your victories. That is your MO. In the 90s and 80s, you were an oblivious team until it didn't come around, until you got bought out by the Russian oligarch Abramovich. Then your team became a lightning striking out there with the likes of Jose Mourinho taking that squad to new heights that they had never experienced before.
The glory days, baby.
And made them a top-caliber team. That being said, you are still a bought-for team.
Yep.
Now take pride in that.
It is what it is.
I
have to rope my team one way or another. Yeah. And
they have bought their way to many titles, many champions.
They won champions
lately,
three,
right now,
years ago.
In their most spending spree, they get absolutely nothing.
They get five wins.
Dude, it's bad.
Beautiful.
It is a
disgusting.
And they got one of those wins this past weekend, and even when you went down a player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had a man down, still were able to overcome against Brighton, which you kind of needed to win that one.
Massive win.
But shouts to right now the current leaders, Arsenal, looking very primed and ready. And your boys, your Reds,
yes,
Liverpool.
Sir.
Liverpool, what a
big
game.
Big win for them.
What a game.
If you just let Trent Alexander-Arnold cook, y'all will be fine. That guy is immaculate with the ball at his feet. He can do spectacular things. Let the man be. Trent Alexander-Arnold, that is a name that you should remember. He's going to be a stud. He is a stud, and he can do some amazing things out there. They'd want to keep him and say he's a defender, but he is not. He doesn't have quite the defensive prowess, but still, he needs to have the ball at his feet because he can do some special things with it. So, yeah, foot and mouth, y'all. Sorry, just Premier League talk, pretty much.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, take it.
Love it.
Glad to have it back. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Drew, Derek, Rude Dog, Statman Brad, all in the building. Want to give a shout-out to you. Thank you for spending some of your evening with us. Also want to give a shout-out to our friends at Yoga Center of Chico. Open every day with both in-studio and online classes via Zoom. In-studio classes follow all state-mandated protocols for safety. The Yoga Center of Chico also has a retail store at 250 Valambrosia Ave, Suite 150, next to the T-Bar. Details are available at yogacenterofchico.com, or you can call 530-342-0100. All right. Shout out to all of our underwriters. Appreciate them. Shout out to you once again. It's nice to have the full squad in the building. We're going to have Aaron here in just a few moments. But first, we need to get you caught up on the going-ons around the world. If my computer will load, I would love to go ahead and get to Derek with the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. I got one story for you today. One story's out there weren't up to my standards, and I don't bring up to my standards to the show. And this one story is so worthy of all the attention that it can give you that I didn't want to stagger with anything else. So let's transport ourselves to Cincinnati, Ohio, guys. Now let's get in the mind of Jack A. Blakesley. This is a criminal defense attorney right there. And if anyone ever had Jack A. Blakesley as your attorney, I'm sure I would love to hear stories about it. This man is a legend for me right now, because recently he got himself suspended by the Ohio Supreme Court.
Ooh.
Not good. Not good right now. No, not when, the Ohio Supreme Court is suspending you and you're an attorney.
That's a top dog.
You are pretty much losing your license.
Yep.
And that's probably what's going to happen to Jack A. Blakeslee. He might lose his license. Now, there are many reasons as to why this could be happening. The reason why this is happening is because he defecated in a Pringles can and threw it into the parking lot of a crime victim advocacy center.
What?
Now, Jack A. Blakeslee is claiming that this is just a common prank that he does on a fairly regular basis.
Listen, I throw poop all the time.
Casual, just poop throwing incident. Defecation in a Pringles can and throwing it, just launching it.
What did I miss?
Jack A. Blakeslee, crime defense lawyer, suspended by the Ohio Supreme Court because he defecated in a Pringles can and threw it into a parking lot.
Wow.
Again, this is a prank that my man is saying that he just does on a regular basis. So,
I want you to admit that,
is
though.
Is he sober? Is he blacked out? Either way, it doesn't matter. He's doing it. It doesn't help the cause.
It
just adds to the list of offenses if he is any of that.
A certain flavor of it right now. And he says that he didn't purposely chose that parking lot. It just happened to be the unfortunate parking lot that got the...
All right.
Yeah, the crime advocacy victims.
Yeah.
So, no.
No, it's totally an accident.
Mr. Blakeslee, hats off to you, sir.
Good luck, my friend.
That's wild.
Report me, quite possibly, the greatest way of getting suspended from your job.
That's epic. Probably never, ever represented anyone.
Someone's got to be roughed in.
Depends on if the bar takes him like out completely.
Maybe outside of the state of Ohio.
Yeah, he might be able to go to another state.
Go to a different state and get the bar.
Homie's cooked, though, in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Exactly. Honey, we're moving out. We're going to Alabama.
Yeah, he's steaming right now. You know? So, thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate the story right there in Cincinnati, Ohio. Delicious.
I hear South Carolina's looking for some lawyers over there.
Sorry about the.
Never mind.
That went over everyone's head.
Yeah. I thought it was relevant. Apparently, it's not anymore.
I know who you're talking. I just can't remember the name.
Starts with the M.
No.
This is great. Radio.
McGowan or something like that.
Now, what are you talking about?
Let's talk about the Netflix series.
There's a Southern lawyer that is crooked. His son killed one of his friends on a boating accident.
That's old news, bro. I was saying, is this a common, recent... Murdochs.
Murdochs.
Yeah.
That is so old, my dude.
Yeah, that's not...
I didn't say it was recent. I was like, okay, guess what over everyone's head.
So bad. It wasn't... Even if it was recent news, it still wasn't a good joke.
On behalf of TBP, I apologize.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Having to listen to
that
right there.
Brought the show to a screeching halt.
Wow. We had to figure it out because it's so absurd, Brad.
That's fair, but I felt like it.
No, don't think at all.
Is Aaron really bad?
Let's bring him Aaron.
Please save us.
Oh my god!
I like your beard, Brad. Nice beard.
I got my thanks. Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
How's it going, guys?
Oh, great, doing great.
Oh man. Each week we bring on Erin. She is our foreign correspondent. She covers the sports that we don't pay nearly enough attention to and give them the love they deserve. So that's why Erin is here. And Erin has a hockey update for us.
Fuck yeah.
Erin, hello.
That's right. We're about a quarter way through the season, so things are starting to really take shape. I think some big surprises are the New York Rangers, who have the best record in the league, along with the Los Angeles Kings. They're looking great. The Kings did beat the Avalanche yesterday, which is a little bit embarrassing, but things could be worse since the Kings are looking pretty good. The Avalanche are looking good, too. I think some big surprises for the season, like I said, are the Kings and the Rangers. No surprise here. All of the Canadian Kings teams are looking pretty blah.
That's good news.
Yeah,
great news. Fun. That just made nice. The show. Thank you.
No surprise there. They're looking pretty blah. I think one big surprise actually is Seattle. You know, they had a really promising season last year. They were looking really good, but their offense just has not been able to get it together, which is kind of a bummer. You were really hoping for this expansion team to look really good because Vegas has continued to have a great season. So a lot of hockey left, but it's been exciting.
I could see at some point in time Canada banding together and storming the USA to steal the Stanley Cup and like bring it back there and like never relinquish.
This is ours forever.
Yeah. Like they can't win it on the ice, so you know they got to do it the old fashioned way. You know?
Well, the problem is they think they're too nice, so I don't know if that would ever really happen.
Sorry.
I mean, there's some of the, right there's some of the deadliest army. I mean they've got one of the longest
Canadians?
Yeah, they've got one of the longest snipe confirmed snipe. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. Confirmed kills from the sniper. Okay.
Yep, thank you.
All right. The longest distance. Gotcha. He was just so scared to be up close. He wanted to, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that's maybe something to write home about, saying this is the best army. But, hey, congrats.
We appreciate Brad on this episode. Yeah. Internally yeah. Right now.
Brad's having a tough go of it. Yeah.
Been up since midnight, okay?
All right. So, that explains something.
Yeah. That helps. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sleep deprivation's real, bro.
It's apparent.
Anyway.
And, yeah.
Shout out to the San Jose Sharks. They still have the worst record in the league.
Woo,
but,
let's go.
You know, they're starting to turn things around. Maybe they've been almost 500 in the last, like, 15 games, 13 games. So they've got potential.
All right, there
to
we
not
go.
Not be the worst team in the league.
I mean, I'd rather be the worst. I'm not... If I'm a hockey fan, I'm a Sharks fan because they're local. Might as well just lose out and get the number one overall pick, right? I don't know.
Oh, I think they're going to. I think you're safe with that. Yeah,
right, yeah, I think we're pretty good there.
But I'm pretty sure you missed out on the good number one pick from this last year. Connor Bedard was the everyone was bowing the knee to him.
Yeah, I mean
he's supposed to be the next prodigy.
He's going to make Gretzky like not the one anymore.
We'll see.
He's going to make Gretzky the two.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You got anything else for us on your hockey update, or you want to move on to questions?
I'm good with questions.
All right.
We all love questions.
Let's see how many we could get to today. I know I didn't get to them all last week. Let's start with one that's really relevant because it was written this morning. A house divided. Gentlemen and lady, I'm honored if this gets read on air, and I have a question for you all that you guys touched on last week. Statman Brad mentioned that he is a Michigan fan and his wife is an Ohio State fan, and I have a similar dilemma in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the Bay Area and I've been a lifelong Niners fan, and my wife is from Pennsylvania and roots for those stupid birds. We are both devoted fans, and we even mentioned in our vows to one another that we would do our best to not go too hard on the other person when their team is down bad. Last year, we decided to watch the championship game together, and when Brock Purdy got knocked out of the game, I decided to go for a little drive to cool off because I knew how that game would end up. Yesterday, we decided once again to give it a shot, watching our teams face off against one another. Going into the game, my wife kept saying that it is BS that the 49ers were 3-point favorites on the road. How Brock Purdy wasn't a real NFL QB, how Debo needed to shut up about how the Niners would have won if Brock didn't get hurt, and how our fan base at large is a bunch of whiners. In response, I suggested maybe we try not to talk so much trash before the game because one of us might end up looking like a fool. We agreed to zero trash-talking policy, and we made a friendly wager that the loser has to buy dinner. The trash-talking policy lasted about 2 minutes on the first drive when Philly went down the field and kicked a field goal, continued when we went three and out, and then Philly came back down the field easily to go ahead and kick another field goal. My wife ramped up the trash-talking. By this time, decidedly, I dipped into the sauce a little heavier and a little earlier than I usually do on a Sunday. But I figured if this was how the game was going to go, then I probably needed a steady buzz to endure my wife being totally obnoxious. Then the 49ers started scoring TDs over and over and over and over and over and over again. Shout out to Marshawn Lynch. This guy gets the show. So I returned the obnoxious trash talking with some of my own trash talk. My wife wasn't too keen on this. I went a little far and started mocking her when she got upset and told her if she can't handle the heat, stay the hell out the kitchen.
Oh!
It wasn't my best line and certainly wasn't our finest moment together. She spent the rest of the evening pretty upset at me and didn't want to go to dinner anymore. Whoa. But she did come through on losing the bet and ordered me food from a place that isn't high on the priority list of places I'd like to dine at, just to spite me. This morning, she was in a better mood, and I sent her flowers to work, so I think we should be okay. But what advice can you guys give to help me avoid altercations based on our silly football obsession? I know that you guys will probably tell me to not watch these games together. I do not think that's a real option. Is there any way we can avoid this conflict? Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to say no, because that's exactly what I did with Sandra during the first two games. She said it was never going to happen for a third time in a row. Not possible. And unfortunately, the in-laws were over, so I had to be a little bit nicer in front of them and not show my...
Are the in-laws Ohio State fans too?
No, they're not. Okay. They're not sports fans at all. Okay. So, but I would just say... I think the flowers the next day are a perfect little...
That's a nice touch.
Little
nice
touch. Yeah. But also, just be prepared to take it, but also be prepared to give it.
Yeah. At the same point in time, I hope those flowers are in the colors of Minaj.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
They're red and gold.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Balloons yes. and everything.
Yeah. You got anything for our guy here, Aaron?
Yeah, just echoing, I think, what Brad said. Just kind of be prepared. It's going to suck for a little bit. And maybe you just tell each other that, like, hey, it is going to suck for a little bit. But maybe another perspective is, you know, when you're losing, it's kind of fun, right? You can be really happy for your spouse. You know, Nathan is a Niners fan. I hate them. But when they're winning, he's really happy. And for me, that is, like, it's nice to see when your spouse is happy. And so you kind of lean on that a little bit to help you get through the painful, really difficult losses.
I will say, that's a lot nicer than I would be. But also added, Sandra also got an Ohio State cup that I ended up opening, and she was just loving that I opened up the cup. So the rivalry is very strong in our household and very apparent.
That can be your emergency pee cup if you ever need
it.
You know?
Honestly, that's what I've thought about.
Or
it.
Just accidental knock off the counter or whatever. No, you're screwed, bro. There's the only thing you could do, I would say, is try to butter her up on the front end. Be super, super nice the week leading up to game day. Potentially, if you guys have some Niners fans and Eagles fans in your life, you could get everyone together. And maybe it's not such a one-on-one, or maybe go to a bar where there's mixed...
Softens a blow with other people around. Yeah,
yeah, you might not go as hard at each other if you have other folks around. So that's really all I can say. But, yeah, it would be really hard to date someone who roots for a team that I despise.
It is very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Steph wore a Mike Bibby jersey in front of me once, and I thought about burning our entire house to the ground. Obviously not with her or the dog in it, but the fact that that jersey is even in my house, sometimes I wake up and I think about it, and I'm like, what are we doing here? Where did I go wrong? How does a Mike Bibby jersey exist in my house? I hate it. I will forever hate it. I will forever hate him. And I sometimes wake up in cold sweats, and I'm just furious about that, even though she hasn't worn it around me in months. It still upsets me. So, yeah, you're screwed, bro. Sorry. I got...
Shouldn't have married into that if you weren't ready for it, I'm just saying.
No.
I feel like you are, but still.
Maybe remind her of your vows.
Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely included the Ohio State part in my vows as well.
Hey, moving on.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
This one's a bit more serious in nature, but not entirely. Keeping secrets from my wife. What's up to the illustrious members of TBP? Congrats to Statman Brad on the wedding. You all look great in cowboy hats. Yes, we did, sir. Thank you. I'm wondering how you all would handle a recent situation that I found myself in. My wife and I have been married for 8 years with two young kids. We have a great relationship, and we have always communicated about as well as a man and woman can. My wife is pretty active on social media and encourages me to do the same, but I have no real interest in it. I have a Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it these days that I never post on, just use it for the news. I have an Instagram that I check about 6 times a year, and I have a Snapchat because that is the main form of communication between my wife and I and our nephew and niece, who we are close to, but they live 6 hours away. A few nights ago, I got a message from an ex-girlfriend from college. We haven't seen each other in nearly 15 years, so I thought it was a bit random. She wrote to me simply asking how I was doing, if I still lived nearby. Several hours later, I got some photos of her of the provocative nature via Snap. It should be known that I did not solicit any of these pics, and the only thing I said in response is that we moved and I'm doing well, and I hope she is well. My ex then texted me the next day and said she saw that she had sent me something on Snap, but that she had too many drinks and couldn't remember what she sent me, and she hoped it wasn't anything embarrassing. I told her that she sent me some not safe for work pics, and it wasn't a big deal. This past weekend, she then started sending me more stuff. I politely asked her to stop, as I am happily married with kids. Again, this was on Snap, so everything was deleted. I haven't heard from her since, but my question for the team is, should I tell my wife? I honestly did not ask for any of these pics, nor do I want this attention, nor do I have any plans to pursue any extramarital activities. I really love my wife, and I would prefer that my wife doesn't keep our house and raise my children with her personal trainer while I pay alimony. My wife is pretty chill for the most part, so my thought was that I could just block my ex on everything and move on. I really don't feel guilty for anything on my end, but I think I would want to know if I were her. So boys and Aaron, what is the verdict? Do I tell her or just block my ex and move on with life like nothing ever happened? Aaron, we'll start with you.
I think it's going to kind of depend on like how your wife is. My personally, like, delete her off Snap, block her number, block everything. I think she was kind of testing you that first time, and she was like, "Luke, I didn't know what I sent you." That was very clear. Like, I'm trying to gauge where you are.
Yep.
She's bad news. Absolutely zero communication with her going forward. Like, avoid her like the plague. Tell your friends to avoid her like the plague. I mean, if you genuinely don't feel any guilt, I don't know if you need to tell your wife, especially if it's going to get you in a lot of trouble. Or if, you know, you don't think it will, you know, you'd be like, haha, my ex texted me and she's nuts, so I blocked her on everything.
Yeah.
It always leads to more questions, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think I would tell her. You said she's pretty chill. I think I'd want to know if she is super chill. Maybe you guys could have a laugh about it. Haha, she's so crazy. I'm sorry this happened. It was super inappropriate. I didn't ask for any of this.
But have her blocked at this point.
Have her blocked for sure on everything.
Yeah.
Have her blocked on everything. I think I would share it because this lady sounds a little bit nuts. The fact that she sent you unsolicited nudies seems pretty wild. And then the fact that she followed up via text, we don't know what this lady's capable of. I don't know if she follows you on other things. I don't know if she follows your wife now. So I would get in front of this just because you don't know. You don't know. And it's going to be way worse if she finds out that there is some communication going on and it came from someone else besides you. Not worth the headache, my guy. That's my two cents.
You got a point there, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if she is following your wife on something, she's going to get in contact with her in some way. She sounds like she's a she's thirsty.
Yeah. She's pursuing
home wrecker.
Yeah, 15 years and it's been randomly. 15 years and then randomly, hey, what's up? Like, nah, you got two kids. You got too much to lose. You mentioned it. You don't want your wife living in your house.
Also.
With your money.
Also.
With a personal trainer.
How'd she look?
You know? Hey!
Derek is very single.
Where you at, girl? Call her up, my boy, real quick.
Yeah, maybe that's a solution. Pass her off. Send the info to Derek. Maybe he could send some DMs.
Yeah, he could happily clean this up for you.
Yeah,
you did say 15 years from college, so. Yeah, it's my age range.
Yeah. Beggars
cannot be choosers at this point.
Aaron, excellent as always. Thank you. We'll catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later.
Wait, 1, 5, 10. Oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm 15 years old.
Don't math on air, Derek.
No, don't math on air. It, man.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
You got a North State update for us?
That I do.
No, I should turn this up.
He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. It'll be a quick North State update because we have some prep football to get to and some exciting one at that. So let's go to men's basketball for Chico State. And unfortunately, they got the loss this past weekend against Cal State San Bernardino in a tight one, 67-70, but bounced back on Saturday against Cal Poly Pomona. This week, they'll be heading to Sonoma State on Thursday and Saturday against Cal State San Marcos. So those will be some good games before they come back home on the 19th. Now, going to women's basketball, they are 4-3 overall currently. This weekend was a good one for them. It was a big victory against Cal State San Bernardino and a close one against Cal Poly Pomona. These two teams last year were high on the rankings for CCAA. So good bounce back for them in this season, and a good win against Cal State San Bernardino and a close one against Cal Poly Pomona. Again, Thursday against Sonoma State at Sonoma and Saturday at Cal State San Marcos. And this past Friday, the Vikings faced off against the Miramonte Matadors, and they swatted them 31-12. PV got the victory, and they ran for 242 yards. Lucas Benson with 133 yards and 3 touchdowns. Unreal for this team. After the game against Chico State, losing 35-0.
You mean Chico?
Sorry, did I say Chico State?
You did. Yeah.
Chico High,
yeah.
35-0. I thought that was the death of them. I thought they weren't going to come back. They were going to play against Chico in the finals. They were going to get beat down, but they came back.
Man, just salt in the wound right now, my dude.
But they come back. They get the victory. They win in the North State, and now they're headed to the finals. This is going to be the third state championship appearance since 2016.
They're in state.
They're going to state, baby. They're headed down to...
Should have been Chico.
It should have been. I mean, they would have been a little bit higher up. PV currently is in the 5AA. Let me just say the next one down is the 5AA. That hosts Woodland Christian and Orland. So if that says anything for you, the way the season went for PV, they ended up a little bit lower. I think Chico would have been closer up to the four double A, but I digress. They're going to be playing against Ramona at El Camino College. I think it's in Terrence, California. And Ramona, I looked at their schedule. I looked at who they played. I didn't recognize a single team. I had no recollection of anybody, so I'm going to say a bunch of nobodies. And this is going to be a very, very good game and a very, very good chance for PV to get their third state championship since 2016.
How many state championships do they give every year to the high school?
There's quite
a bit, right?
Yeah. I feel like that doesn't count, though.
Wait, what do you mean?
There's multiple divisions.
Yeah, multiple divisions. Well, I mean,
how many teams walk away saying I'm the state champion at the end of the season? Like, how many teams can say that?
There are 10.
Ten.
So you think about it, there's seven champion total divisions in basketball,
yeah.
So there's only three extras in football. So,
all right. But, maybe I'm just being a hater.
But then again, you have the open division, which is your, is it Mater Day, Mater D?
Just like a lot of state champions.
Mater Day and Sierra are the open division game. They'll be playing this weekend as well.
I mean, best of luck. Obviously, you want Chico to do well. So.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But it's like, also, this is a very low division for them. They should be higher up. So this should be a championship they should get.
All right, get your rings, boys.
So, get your rings while you can. You never know when they're going to come again.
In El Camino, you said? El Camino College?
El Camino College. Okay. Yep, exactly. Yeah. So they're playing an away game. But at the same time, Romano is 4-3 at home. So that tells you anything. They're not very good.
They made it to the championship with three losses?
They made it to the championship with 5 losses.
Oh, wow.
So they're better on the road is what you're saying.
Yes.
All right. So watch out, PV. They don't like playing at home, and they're on the road. So woo-hoo.
Neutral.
Gear up.
Yes.
Do you want to do a couple quick picks, Rudy?
Yeah. Quick picks. Actually, great pick. Pull out the mortgage. Get a loan out. The over Cowboys-Eagles game at